Friends, family, and loved ones of Jerry Spoo, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Getting connected. It's kind of a big deal, isn't it? Getting connected, to be connected. In fact, this morning when I sat down to write this sermon, the first thing I do, I get connected like every other morning. In fact, since most of my stuff is in the cloud, and I can't get to it unless I'm connected, it's kind of a big deal to get connected, to be connected. And if you sit down and you try to get connected and you can't, that just won't do, will it? First things first, get connected, then stay connected. That's what's great about the phone. You don't have to do anything to get connected. With the phone, you're connected all the time. But if you find yourself down in the boondocks, look down to see the dreaded no service alert, find yourself not connected, life kind of stops, doesn't it? Put on hold until you get connected again. There. Now everything is right with the world. In the 15th chapter of John, Jesus talked about being connected and staying connected to him. Speaking to people who believe in him, Jesus used a familiar grape plant as a metaphor. He said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Abide with me, and I with you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides with the vine, neither can you unless you abide with me." You do see vineyards popping up here and there around Iowa and the Midwest. If Jesus was speaking today, here he might talk about the stalk and the ear and the kernels of corn, the pod, the bean, the trunk, the branch, the fruit of an apple, peach, or cherry tree. He might talk about how a rose begins life and it lives and grows as long as it is connected to the stem. But as soon as you cut it off, abide with me, Jesus says, and I with you. The translations say, abide in me, and I'm not sure what that means. The hymnal gets it right, abide with me. Or as we might say in our vernacular, stay with me. Stay with me, Jesus says, I stay with you. Stay with me and I with you, stay connected to me like a branch stays connected to the trunk, and then into the ground, and you will bear much fruit. And she did bear much fruit during her lifetime. Lifelong Christian, I think it sounds like she was a lifelong Lutheran, a wife, mother, homemaker, volunteered here and other places, and she was here a lot. And maybe her greatest act of Christian mercy, charity, compassion was bringing children besides her own to church, so they could stay connected like she stayed connected to Jesus. Staying with Jesus. You know what that looks like? It looks a lot like church. That's what staying connected to Jesus looks like. This is the place where she and you find Jesus. Coming here is how she and you stay with Jesus. And sometimes, you know what? Things just are not that complicated. In the church, in baptism, she was first connected to Jesus. It's the same place she came to hear the word of God, to receive the sacrament, to stay connected to God. She was connected. She was with Jesus. 10 days ago, I asked her if she wanted to receive the sacrament of the altar. She smiled and she nodded. I asked her about her family, but she was kind of weak. Mostly, I think she just wanted to receive the body and blood of Jesus for one last time. Now last week we did the commendation of the dying, where we turn our loved one over to the care of God for eternity. And we prayed to God, Almighty God, you breathed life into Adam and have given earthly life to Jerry, your dear child and servant, with faith in your power to heal and save, we commend her to you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And then, in God's time and good pleasure, it was time for that beautiful rose to be plucked. And God is the one who does the plucking. God is the one who kept her alive spiritually and physically all these years. God is the one who decides when she and when you leave here for your final destination. The hearts of his disciples, their hearts were troubled because he had just told them that he would soon be leaving them. He was about to be taken, about to be crucified, about to die on the cross to take away your sins. And they seem to hear all that. They seem not to have heard that he's going to come back after that. In fact, in each of the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, three times they record him telling them of his arrest, torture, and crucifixion. He told them about the resurrection, but they don't seem to have heard the part about the resurrection. That Jesus rose from the dead, we all arise from the dead on the last day, and the Christians like Jerry will go to heaven to live there for eternity. They were troubled, and he talks to them about a house. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. He's going, he tells them, to get your room in that house ready. And then when that room is ready, he's going to come back for you. He has come for Jerry. And he has taken her to that room, in that mansion, in the sky, and that's where she will be. Curious Thomas. He maybe was thinking about a road trip. Wants to know how can we get here, get there from here. But he's not sure where that house is, the one that Jesus is talking about. So what road do you take to get there, to get to that house? And Jesus answered, I am the road. I am. That means he is God. That's God's personal name. That's the first thing. He is the road. And that's the only road that leads to heaven. And the other roads do not lead to nowhere. They do lead to somewhere. The road to heaven is Jesus. How many times do you suppose in her life Jerry prayed the Lord's Prayer? Certainly quite a bit here. Probably quite a bit not here. How many times did she petition God, but deliver us from evil? The seventh petition. And what does that mean, to deliver us from evil? Martin Luther explains the meaning of the seventh petition, deliverance from evil. He says, we pray in this petition that our Father in heaven will rescue us from every evil of body and soul. And now, for her, that's done. And finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end. And graciously take us from this valley of sorrows to himself in heaven. A blessed end. And for her, that's done too. It's a blessed end. What does that look like? A blessed end. Well, I've seen a lot of people have a blessed end. Christians who are ready to go to heaven, and when it's time, they embrace that. You want to know what a non-blessed end looks like? His name was Russell, and his parents asked the young pastor to go and see their son in a hospital. He was dying of cancer. And he told me that he knew he was dying, and he knew that he was going to hell. I reminded Russell of his baptism. And he said he doesn't believe anymore, he can't believe anymore, and that he's going to heaven, to hell. And I proclaimed the gospel of Christ to him, and that went on for several days. I don't know where Russell ended up, but he died knowing that he was going to hell. That was not a blessed end. That was a terrible way to die. This was a blessed end. She has left her life in the church militant, where there's always fighting. She's done with this fallen, immoral, it's always a fight world. She's done with pain and suffering of body and soul, with that always goes with life here. She's done with all of that. She is a Christian, ready to go to heaven for eternity. That's a blessed death connected to Jesus. She has gone to be with Jesus in that room. She has entered what we call the church triumphant, and she will continue to be connected to stay with Jesus and he with her for eternity. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.